joining us on the line, Jake Shepherd. He's a founder and a director at Synthesis. Jake, good morning. We missed you last week. How are you?
I'm good, and this nice cool morning in Johannesburg.
Yeah, it is. It is indeed very cool. And in fact, next week's getting colder. Tuesday going down to 0 degrees, but it is beautiful and the sun is shining, so there is nothing wrong with that. It's so interesting, the conversation that we want to have this morning, because and I'm not sure if you were listening to the segment just a few minutes ago, and we were talking about this incident with Bianca, what's her name? Surname?
Scumbi.
Scumbi, is that a real name? What did she make that up?
No,
is that
no,
a real
Scumbi.
Name? Bianca Scumbi, who's a contestant for, well, was a contestant for Miss South Africa, and people found in her tweets some really terrible stuff, racist, ugly stuff from a number of years ago when she was much younger. She's, of course, stepped down. She kind of apologized, but didn't really. And during the ads, Anatya and I were just saying that there's no question that she needed to step down, and there's probably not a lot of sincerity in her. We don't feel the sincerity, at least, in her apology. But Anatya was saying, whilst at university, she was a little bit hectic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all were when we were young. But life is a journey, and it's a journey of learning. And how do we, you know, it's all very well. We want to be lifelong learners, and that's to take us to higher levels and to evolve as people. But what do we do with all of that stuff that maybe we aren't so proud of in our past?
Yeah, thanks, Howard. This is obviously a topic that is incredibly close to my heart. And it's really like, why should people be in a state of continuous learning? Like, what are those benefits? And I want to just start off with a quote from Mahatma Gandhi. He said, live as if you were to die tomorrow and learn as if you were to live forever. And the first sentence is obviously quite easy to understand, because it basically means live, be present, enjoy now, and make the most of life. But I think the second sentence, to learn as if you were to live forever, it gets actually to the heart of what learning is really for. And I would say it's an investment in yourself. And it's an investment that pays dividends constantly over the rest of your life.
I love that.
So, so the same way which we look at like a master craftsman's success and the quality of their work, and we know that that depends on the quality of the tools and the skills that they acquire through their profession. Yeah. So we too need to look at our life in a similar way. We need to say, well, if we need an ability to acquire new skills and then master them, we need to be able to articulate our thoughts and ideas and then define and communicate our vision for the future with others, and then understand the behaviors of others, and then understand ourselves and refine our own character. And ultimately, if we can do all of those things, we can start making ourselves into an incredibly powerful force. And if you actually think about that, the most impressive people that you meet in life are those who have a deep understanding of life and have an ability to persuade others to their way of thinking. So really, this whole concept of constantly investing in yourself, I think, is core. And I remember many years ago, it was about 24 years ago, I read a book by John P. Cotter called Leading Change. And actually, at the end of the book, almost like in an addendum, he has an anecdotal story about a person that he met a number of times through the person's career. And when he first met the person wasn't particularly impressive. In fact, he hardly remembered that he had met that person. And then he met the person about 10 years later, and they'd been like moving upward in their organization, in their career. And they were reasonable. You know, he was somebody who, you know, he could start seeing that the person had what it took. And then he met him and like another 10 years later, and the guy blew him away. He actually didn't believe it was the same person that he had seen. And he said to the guy, like, what is the secret? How did you manage to transform yourself to that extent? And the guy said, I go home every day and read. And I spend time reading. And he says, even if I get home and I'm absolutely exhausted, I will force myself to read one sentence, and I invest in myself that way. And this anecdotal story had such a profound effect on my life that if I look back, it's to some extent it's what motivated me to start constantly investing in myself and to start learning. And I think really then what you can start doing is you can say, well, there are two areas where you could really say we can focus learning on. And those two areas, I would say, like broadly speaking, you can study and learn about the world that is, let's call it matter. And then we can also study about what matters.
I like that.
And those two areas, matters and what matters. And if you look at matter, so there you're talking about science, and that's the study of the world, the world of matter and how to manipulate it and bend it to our needs. And it's really, the scientific way of thinking of the world is actually quite new. I suppose you can trace its origins back to ancient Greece and those sort of times. But really, in the sense that we understand science today, you're talking 500 years old, Francis Bacon, Sir Isaac Newton, amongst others. Mm. And effectively, that way of looking at the world is a whole bunch of objects, you know, how we can manipulate those objects. And there's a lot of learning that needs to be done in that sphere. So if you're thinking of like the challenge of the fourth industrial revolution or the cognitive revolution and how that's changing jobs and anything that's reasonably routine, you can get a machine to automate. And so it means that we have to constantly look out for new opportunities and then learn skills and learn ideas that are appropriate to these new opportunities that we see. And then you've got to do them. So I think in the modern world, the concept of constantly learning and constantly improving our skills and adapting and actually looking at new areas to focus ourselves, that's core. And that is important. But I actually don't think it's as important as focusing on what matters. So really.
And where we see people going wrong so often is when they lose sight of what matters. It's actually very much less so. Maybe it's the world that we're living in, but there's so many people fall down when it comes to not understanding what matters.
Yeah, and I think the way to understand what matters is we need to see ourselves as creatures that act in the world. Mm. And what I mean by that is you need to know how to act in the world, because you've got goals and stuff, and you've got ideals of what you're trying to achieve. And really what you're trying to do is you're trying to say, well, how do I act in the world and how do I understand the world and view the world so that whatever I do today will get me to my goals of tomorrow? And if, even from like a Darwinian perspective, the whole concept of how to act is focused on survival and how to find a partner. And that's life. So it's built into the fabric of who we are is to try and know how to act and to see the world as a forum for action. And I think the way what we do is we like create a model of understanding of the world, and we do it automatically. We don't have to think about it. And we use this model to predict what's actually going to happen. And we try and predict that, you know, what decisions do I need to take in order to achieve something at the end of the day? Mm. And so really what you're trying to do then is at the very least, you don't want to make things worse tomorrow than they are today. And hopefully if you do make good decisions, you'll make things better. And I think this is at the very essence of what we call wisdom. And there's a very famous tractate or a piece from the Babylonian Talmud in Talmud on 32a. There's a story of an interaction between Alexander the Great and the Jewish elders. And Alexander asks a number of questions, and one of the questions he asks the elders is, who is truly worthy of being called wise? And they said to him, who is a wise person? The one who sees and anticipates the consequences of his behavior. But if you really want to understand the profundity of what they're saying, is you actually have to look at it in the original Hebrew. Because what they said in the original Hebrew is, Ezehu chacham, who's the wise man, haro'eh et hanolad, the one who sees the nolad. And in Hebrew, one of the words for future is nolad, but it's also the word for birth. So a wise person understands effectively this decision I make or this action I take now is going to give birth to the future. And knowledge is actually encapsulating both of them. And that's the heart of actually what wisdom is all about.
Very, very, very profound. Ian says, Jake, thank you for reinforcing the this important subject. Innovation transformation requires multifaceted talents who can combine a profound understanding of big organizations with a rebel spirit as well as a drive for change. And that really brings it all together, isn't it? Because we need to understand ourselves, we need to understand the human spirit in order to move forward not only in our own environment but in a broader environment.
Sure, definitely. And understanding others is key. I mean, understanding yourself, I suppose, is the first step that one has to take. And through that, you can start to understand others as well. And I think what we need to understand is that life, unfortunately, is actually very short. And it's certainly too short to let experience be your only teacher. So the one way to actually see books and learning from others is that they've distilled their wisdom over the years. And they've written it down. And if you read a significant number of books and you take on board the lessons that they've taught, you gain wisdom from other people. And that's really what the whole concept of reading is about. And I think but it means that you need to read good literature and you need to read books about trying to understand yourself. And then you need to read as if it actually matters. And that the author's actually trying to speak to you about your life. And I think the reason is because in a very real sense, the author is speaking to you. The reason they took the time to write the book, and I'm sure you as an author, Howard, can echo this. You spend the time to write the book because you've got something important to tell others.
Yeah, it's a need. It's a need to share that you just feel that it could help people. Absolutely.
But 100%, and the right attitude of the reader is how it is speaking to me, or the author is speaking to me, and I need to take on board those lessons. And then in terms of what matters, so then you start learning about your culture, your tradition, you start learning about psychology and the way that we put together and the way we see the world. And so one way of thinking of learning is that it's really, you're bringing on board new information. However, I would say a more correct way of thinking about it, it's to help us understand and fix what's wrong with ourselves. And when we understand what's wrong with ourselves, where we're going wrong, where we see the world incorrectly, to some extent we die because there are old strategies and there are old structures, and those old structures need to be cut away. And you basically need to grow a new set of strategies and structures to deal with the world as you now see it. And it might mean that your old ways of interacting with people, the way you do your mode of operations, maybe you weren't forceful enough, or maybe you were too forceful. All of that, those sort of old mannerisms have to start dying. And when they've died, you can start replacing them with new,
and there's your knowledge.
More
effective. There's your birth.
That's your knowledge. There's your birth.
Absolutely.
So it comes around to that whole concept of dying and recreating yourself. And that's what lifelong, when you talk about lifelong learning, it's not just a commitment to lifelong learning. It's actually a commitment to lifelong change. And the fact that you're going to be constantly, I suppose be reborn in some sense. And there's quite a nice, a standing joke that my wife has with my kids. And my kids spend a lot of time, learning in Israel. And we see them, they come back to South Africa once or twice a year. And we see them then. And the joke is they try and work out who their dad's going to be when they visit.
I think my kids have a similar problem. That is absolutely wonderful. Jake, I'm getting quite a few questions. People are asking me for some of the names of the books that you recommend. So what I'm actually going to ask you to do, to send me, you can send it to me after the show, a list of, let's say, five books that you recommend that people read in terms of lifelong learning, and then I'll post them to the Morning Mayhem Facebook page, and I'll put them on Twitter, and I think it's a great idea for people to be able to access some of that, because that's really what it is that you're talking about.
Exactly. And I think also, I think one thing to realize is you need to find the book that actually targets you in the sense that certain works are inaccessible where you are currently in life. And other books can help you get there. So it's effectively, it's like almost like a whole bunch of steps to get to where you need to go to. But sometimes the material is too inaccessible. And you need not necessarily simpler, but just books that explain things from a different perspective that give you a handle on a new concept. And then once you've got that new concept, you can start building on that. So really, that's another reason why lifelong learning is so important, because it's not read one book. There's no shortcut.
To change.
Lifelong learning include unlearning? Because you said, in order to change, you know, some things have to die. And I think for some things to die, you have to recognize that there was a problem with the initial way that you were doing things. So doesn't that require some sort of unlearning?
Jay, could you hear the question?
So there's this WhatsApp link is terrible.
I know. I realize sometimes when Zanati talks and people are on this connection, it doesn't come clearly. What Zanati is asking is, does lifelong learning sometimes mean unlearning?
Definitely. I think we all have if you think of life as like Shakespeare says, life is a stage and all of us are players. So we act out in certain ways, and we need to realize that certain behaviors and certain ways of acting and interacting with the world becomes totally inappropriate.
Yeah, well, that's what Jordan Peterson writes about this as well, where he says we try on these different personalities, and we need people around us to say, that's not a personality that's going to work particularly well. And then, you know, as youngsters, as teenagers, perhaps, when we're trying to figure out who we are in the world.
Yeah, 100%. And effectively, so there is this aspect of there's certain ways that we work that have to change, and we have to actually kill off, so to speak, some inadequate aspects of ourselves so that we can give birth to far more refined, nuanced approaches to actually dealing with the world. Yeah. And I think that's really the whole point of life. It's a commitment to change. It's the need to reimagine and refine yourself. And ultimately to become wise. And I think that's really what life's trying to,
Absolutely.
You know, what it calls on us to do. And the only way that you can do that is if you adopt a whole mindset of lifelong learning.
Absolutely love it. We do need to leave it there. Jake Shepherd, founder and director at Synthesis, talking about lifelong learning. Ian says, absolutely, we need to unlearn to be able to unlearn to be able to look at different situations differently. Really, it's very, very interesting indeed.